Alrighty. Open your Bibles to Matthew 7:14. We're going to do a few scriptures here to begin with. Matthew 7:13, actually. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then he goes into verse 15. The broad way here is the false prophets. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. And then in verse 20 again, you shall know them by their fruits. In verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Isn't that funny? Because he's talking in verse 15 about the false prophets. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Verse 23, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And then over in Ephesians, so the mass doesn't follow the Lord. The mass, anything. And it's a narrow path. That's kind of the main thing. It's a broad way. The Broadway church. The fake church. And when something's fake, it's false. It's misleading. It's man-made. It's counterfeit. We don't want the counterfeit. We've all come from that. We want to not be weird and off into some theories. We want facts, and there's enough facts to deal with. We don't have to add or take away. But in Ephesians 6, in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Just see the abiding that we have with him. So many people that are preaching, it's all about you. You're a queen. I've been hearing more of this stuff we'll get into, but I want to talk more about some lies in the false church and where it came from, because it's not going away. And we need to face truth, face reality in Christ because of the things that are coming on the earth. And one of the things that it says here in Ephesians 6, be strong in him. We're not strong in ourselves. We don't ever get to the point where we evolve and we get to that level. No, we are. You're saved, you're born again, you have to renew your mind, but that's not evolving. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against, what? The wiles of the devil. So the enemy is still around. When we were going to church, you never talked about the devil. Well, the Lord does, the Bible does, right? For we wrestle not against, what, flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are in a spiritual war. And it's not just in the world, but it's also in the church, because the enemy has infiltrated both. But I have a book, and this is a book that's been out for ages. I don't even recommend you get it. I'm just going to give you some highlights and see if our countries are at war. It's a book, it's called Sun TZU, The Art of War. And in this book, it talks about the rules of war. And it's how they bring countries down, how they've always brought countries down. And I'm going to read 8 of the things, and see if you're seeing this in America. See if you're seeing this in the UK. See if you're seeing this in Canada, different places that you all are listening from. The first one, the rule of war, cut off supply chains. Number 2, hit the fuel lines. Number 3, disarm citizens. Number 4, affect transportation. Number 5, silence important communications. Number 6, create diseases. Number 7, cause strife and divisions. Number 8, insert lies, confusion, and propaganda. I'm going to say that again. Do you see any of this going on? Cut off supply chains. All of a sudden, there's a shortage of this. There's a shortage of that. There's a shortage of cars. There's a shortage of chips. There's a hamburger. I mean, it just goes on and on. Hit the fuel lines. Okay, they want to get rid of fossil fuels, don't they? Disarm the citizens. I think we're starting to see some of this happening around. Disarm the citizens. When they want to take a country down, this is very important to them, that they disarm the citizens. Affect transportation. Silence important communications. An example is things you can't say. Things that are taken down, things that are censored. Create diseases. Do you think they have the technology and the scientists and all this to do this? Cause strife and division. Divide and conquer. Insert lies, confusion, and propaganda. Or we could say problem, create the problem, then there's a reaction, and then there's the solution. Right? So the solution has to come, because if the problem wasn't there or manufactured, we'd never accept that solution. So I think what's happening now, we're starting to see violence in different places. So maybe the agenda of coming into a store now, you need an ID, you need a digital ID to get in the store. We'll see. But everything is not as it seems, right? So we have to battle. Part of our war is spiritual wickedness, which is deception and lies. In Matthew 24, we know deception is big in the end times. So Psalms 91, or is it 94? 94, 16. Can't read my own writing. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And we just read there that those that do the will of the Father. When we were in our movements, we were told that if it be thy will was unbelief, that if it be thy will was not faith. Well, guess what? Those people aren't going. Some of them don't know the Lord. They know formulas. They know the force, right? So we have to stand up. This is the time we have to stand up. We're watchmen on the wall. We didn't sign up for this. I never thought in a million years that I'd have to be preaching on end time things. And I was kind of wanted to, you know, encourage people not to be rejected, how to come through anger, all the other things I used to preach on, which are important things. But this isn't an hour. This is an hour we have to have information. Well, we still have information so that we can renew our minds to some of the false prophets and the false teachers that we've had in our lives so we can know truth. Because 2 Timothy 3:13 says, evil men and seducers, it's going to have a revival. It's going to get greater. That's what they're saying, isn't it? What does the Bible say? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what's a seducer? A seducer is a false prophet. It can be a politician saying he's going to do things, and then when they get in, nothing ever changes. Imposters pretending to be someone else in order to deceive. So if the evildoers wax worse and worse, that means in the end times it's going to advance. And unfortunately, it's going to grow, right? So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier. He didn't say it was going to be easy. You go to some of these churches and all they do is give you positive messages. They want you to leave hyped up. And we're going to expose some of that. But we're supposed to be a good soldier, endure difficult and hard times. And a lot of people don't realize we're going to go through some hard times in our countries. And the Bible says that nation shall rise against nation, famines, earthquakes. If you've seen what's happening in other countries, it's harder to see what's happening in other countries now because we don't have the news coverage that, and the emails and the people that, it's like all of a sudden our communications are getting harder. Something that we read earlier, isn't it? I'm hearing, and I'm quoting from this. I found this yesterday and it just troubled me. It's a woman's meeting. It says, "Your throne awaits as you ascend into the realm of empowerment and grace." And they're calling together the queens of the kingdom. And then they're saying, I looked this person up on their website, and they said, "If God is a king, that makes me a princess." A queen is someone that's married to the king in the Bible. I don't know where they're getting this queen stuff and all this. I remember back in the day, I'd take my granddaughter to the mall, and whenever you'd go by a Disney store, they'd go, "Hi, princess." And it just kind of reminds me of this fantasy that they're trying to make everyone feel so good about themselves. Where the Bible tells us we need to admit who we are. We're sinners that need the grace of God, right? So a couple encouraging things before we get into this other part. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 through 7. "We faint not. Regardless of what we hear, what we see, what we go through, we have to process things. We see people going through. So many of my friends are going through things. Families going through things like never before, right? We faint not." You might have a day you got to take a break, but we don't pass out and faint and lose hope, because he is our hope. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. We don't just pull out a few scriptures and then make them say whatever we want to say. We don't manipulate the Bible. We don't add to it, and we don't take away. Sometimes that truth is hard, and we need hard truth sometimes. And then it says there, "We preach not ourselves." So if someone gets up and just talks about themselves and they're narcissists, run. Put your running shoes on, because we are not to preach ourselves. Narcissism now has found its way in the pulpits and in our politics. And then verse 8, "We're troubled on every side." Verse 9, "We're persecuted. And our outward man is perishing." Some people think you're going to live forever. We're not going to live forever. These false doctrines think, they think you're going to have immortality without Christ, right? Talk about deception. "Our outward man is perishing." And then it says, "The things we see are temporary." A couple of things now about the church culture today that I want to get into and where this came from. First thing is extremely loud music. We've talked about this before. I'm talking to more and more people that have had hearing issues because of too loud of music. Someone invited us to their church and they said, "Well, they'll give you earplugs at the front door." And I just thought, this is what churches come to? Earplugs? Because that's important. They want that atmosphere. They want that hype. And the main thing I want to talk about tonight is positive. Everything has to be positive. Positivity. And where did this come from, that you can only preach positive messages, and that if you preach hard truth, you're angry, you're mad, you're offended? No, Jesus preached some hard truth. He said, "You snakes, you vipers." I guess that wasn't real positive. But this positivity, and I'm going to try to show you into some of my research we're going to go through, is based on psychology and humanism. The goal is to always be positive. Number one, that's not found in the Bible. He said, "Whatsoever things are true." Sometimes true things aren't positive. One of our friends just lost a nephew. He shot himself. It's true. It's not real positive. There's no way you can spin that and make it sound good, right? But you got to deal with facts. You got to deal with reality. And one of the things that I found, constant positivity is a form of avoidance and not a valid solution to your problems. Just be positive. So if someone says, "You know, I'm going," well, just have faith. Well, they're going to heaven. There's just such cookie-cutter answers that have absolutely no compassion at all. And that's kind of the way, if you go to churches, that's what you get. You get no love, no compassion. Just get with it. You know, well, that's not very positive. You better change your attitude. Where did this come from? We're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to make things up. We have to face reality in Christ. Where did all this stuff come from? I've done other messages on this. I'm only going to hit some high spots. But Norman Vincent Peale is a big one. And he's called by some as one of the greatest spiritual leaders of our time. Peale's weekly radio program, mostly to our parents and our grandparents, not so much now, people wouldn't know who they were, but now we have our Joels, right? We have people that are picking up that place of positivity and how great you are. But Peale's weekly program, The Art of Living, was broadcast on NBC for 54 years. His sermons were mailed to 750,000 people a month. His Guidepost magazine continues its popularity today, having a circulation of more than 4.5 million, the largest for any religious publication. Now, just bear with me as I go through some of my notes. What was his message, and why is it important? Because many churches are basing their church's theology on these principles, and we have to see why it's not biblical. Peale's message was the power of the mind. In one of his books, Positive Imaging, page 77, he said, "Your unconscious mind has a power that turns wishes into realities when the wishes are strong enough." How strong does my wish have to be? In his Power of Positive Thinking, we immediately find written, "Believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities." That's opposite of what we just read. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. They don't need the Lord. These people don't need the Lord because they elevate themselves. Peale has acknowledged that his theology of positive thinking came from Ernest Holmes, founder of the New Age Occultic Church of Religious Science. Peale's views of the universe as God, and you're going to hear more about the Universal Church. I got a phone call from someone from the Universal Church last week and wanted to send pamphlets to me. It's here, folks. His view of the universe as God, as an energy, and of prayer, the scientific technique for releasing God energy according to definite laws. They think they have it all figured out, right? Peale's spirituality was a blend of Christian science, mind science, teaching with a dash of Christian terminology. So we hear that Christian terminology and we dive right in. The world you live in is mental, not physical. This is what he says, change your thought and you change everything, the power of the mind. His teachings came under heavy criticism at one point from preachers, and he wanted to quit. But his father came to the rescue and persuaded him to continue, saying, "You have evolved a new Christian emphasis out of a complete composite of science of mind, metaphysics, Christian science, medical and psychological practice, Baptist evangelism, Methodist witnessing, and solid Dutch Reformed Calvinism." This is on page 391, Spirits in Rebellion. So this was a departure from the Christian faith, and it slipped in, and a lot of people took it away that you have to have positive messages, you have to draw people, give them what they want to hear, and always build them up to be the best they can be. In his book, Power of Positive Thinking, the teaching and theme is believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. The Bible says to have faith in God. abide in Christ, because apart from him, John 17 says, we can do nothing. So these are two different teachings, totally. Peel teaches the opposite, that we can do all things through our mind, not through Christ. This is what the human potential movement, part of the New Age counterfeit, teaches. And this is invading churches right now. You can tell by the language, evolve, self-esteem. It is also has ties with the positive confession movement in the church. The positive confession movement has been here for quite a while, and nobody's exposing it. It's just like they're adding it on as some kind of a special teaching, and that we all come to just believe in ourselves, and now we're all queens, and we're all princesses, and nothing about picking up your cross and following him, and the persecution, and the darkness that's coming, and be a watchman on the wall, be sober, be vigilant. In the book Power of Positive Thinking, the advertisement reads, "There is a deep tendency in human nature ultimately to become precisely what you visualize yourself as being." We'd even in church have people set goals of what you visualize. And he says, this reminds me of a preacher we have now. If you see yourself as nervous and tense and frustrated, if that's the image of yourself, that's what you will be. You will be what you visualize. Tap into your powerful internal resources. Draw unlimited energy. You're hearing a lot about energy, vibes. They're saying this energy is good for your mind and your body. Norman Vincent Peale's understanding of God was God is energy. Breathe God in. You've been hearing people say, just breathe, breathe. Visualize his energy. How many in the faith movement have you heard the same philosophy echoed? They say the same thing, a little bit different language, but it's still seven steps to write your own ticket with God. He says prayer power is a manifestation of energy. It's a little bit more on him. He actually taught positive thinking is another term for faith. And it's not. In 1984, he was interviewed on the Phil Donahue program, and he said, "It's not necessary to be born again. You have your way to God. I have mine." What did we read? The broad way versus the narrow way. He was on the broad way. Peale replied, "Christ is one of the ways. God is everywhere." Peale was a universalist, believing that everyone is going to heaven as long as they believe in God, any God. That is not a Christian position. Now, who came along after him was Robert Schuller. When he died, Peale died, Schuller was in tears in 1994, and he told how Peale had been his inspiration and his mentor, and the man who had the greatest influence upon his theology and ministry. He attributed to Peale at starting the positive thinking movement. The church today has adopted his model of positive thinking for possibility thinking, as well as the Word of Faith promoters who think faith is a force that we can muster up in ourselves. Much of what we see today in positive attitude is hyping one's imagination to think only good can happen. Something good's going to happen to you today. Just little by little, this philosophy has come in. The philosophy of men, the philosophy of psychology. "I can" is the motto of his motivation. Not "I can do all things through Christ," just "I can." Could we change what the Apostle Paul wrote to Christ Jesus came into the world to save those who lack self-esteem, who have not found their full potential, of who I am chief? It was the Apostle Paul who said at the end of his life he was the chief of sinners. What a negative confession. Salvation, according to these people, is not God rescuing us from sin, death, and hell. That's found in Ephesians, and I won't go through all the scriptures, but instead is a rescue from shame to glory, from guilt to pride, from fear to love. It's all about love. Everything's about love. Distrust to faith, hypocrisy to honesty. Discover yourself with all the trappings. What is this? It's pride. It's total pride. And as Christians, we're supposed to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, right? This teaching exalts self. And listen to what he said in Living Positively One Day at a Time on page 201. Jesus knew his worth. His success fed his self-esteem. He suffered the cross to sanctify his self-esteem. And he bore the cross to sanctify your self-esteem. And the cross will sanctify the ego trip. And then on the Phil Donahue show on 1/12/1980, he said, Jesus had an ego. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Wow, what an ego trip he was on. Wouldn't you be afraid to even say these things? And lastly, what he said about hell, what they think about hell. He said, a person is in hell when he has lost his self-esteem. To accept his philosophy, one would have to throw out the entire New Testament, which focuses around Jesus Christ and his purpose for coming to redeem mankind from sin by his work on the cross. But then it may damage one's self-esteem to hear that he is a sinner. You don't get saved unless you acknowledge that, who you are, and you need him. So this is totally an antichrist spirit. And this is what we're up against. The narrow path versus the wide, the Broadway path. And what does the Bible say? Few find the narrow path. And what's going to happen in the end times? Deception, right? Coming from pulpits and coming from television, coming from all these different avenues where we think we can look up and get help. Some of that is not help. Some of it's taking us down the Broadway. So, Father, we pray and we ask for guidance in this hour. We want to be strong in you, Lord. We cannot do it in our own self. Apart from me, you said, you can do nothing. But with you, Father, we thank you that we can be a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. And that's what it is. We are to endure to the end. And Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy to help us endure our race. We all have a different race to run. And Father, we want to do your will in our race. Your will be done in our lives. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.